Thanks, everybody, for some super special music this morning. I mean, this evening. This evening. I'm a few hours late. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we worship in heaven? Even before I begin, you stop and think that the shepherds, when they were out there, they got a little glimpse of it. But you know, when we worship, I mean, that's going to be like Mannheim steamroller, like exalted. I just can't wait. Amen. I mean, it ought to just excite our hearts when we can come and worship and get excited and know that the Lord has everything in His hands. Amen. Would you bow your head with me? Father, as we just take a moment to take a look at your word, we've already been blessed as we entered into worship, as we enter into the sing of the shepherds and the angels and all those that rejoice at the coming of Christ and the fulfillment of your plan of redemption, Lord God. That, Lord Jesus, as we just take these moments, may our heart be flooded with your love. May our heart be energized, encouraged to draw closer to you like never before. May we just look at these scriptures, Lord God, and they be marching orders for our lives and for the contacts that we come in our presence. Would you just be glorified? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, yesterday we've been, for those that weren't here, this whole month of Advent, we kind of did a Christmas brings, and Christmas brings hope and joy and peace. And yesterday we looked at God's love, and we see, God's love blows my mind. I just got to tell you, it just blows my mind when I stop to think who God is and Him loving us. It just humbles me. And when you look at this, and yesterday we looked at read the whole Luke chapter 2 Christmas story, and as part of this service, and part of the message was speaking of God's love being unconditional. That he you know, he had a choice, and it's unconditional that he decided that he was going to redeem mankind, and that this blows my mind too, that God would love us so much, and it's not based upon circumstances or where we're at in the world or how much you can do or what you didn't do. It says, yet while we're sinners, He came and wanted to redeem mankind. And it doesn't matter if we have all ducks in a row. Say amen to that. That man, it's not like, I love you if you get your ducks in a row, if you get all of this. And for a moment, could we just take a look at some of a paraphrased version of the story as the angels come to assure Joseph that Mary is doing what God wants her to do, and looking at her being called upon to be the divine mother of Jesus Christ. So Matthew chapter 1. If you would look at verses 18 to 24, I have a couple verses I want to share with you just for a moment. Starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I don't know about you, but can you believe another year went by? You seem like we were just there talking about this just the other day. If anybody knows me, I'll say just the other day, and it could be a year ago, because that's how fast time seems to be flying. You know, we're looking at another Christmas. We have another year coming in. It's been a tough year. Let's be honest. It's been a tough year for a lot of people this year, and maybe if it wasn't the greatest of year for you this year, I know a Savior that can minister. Amen. I know a God that can change circumstances and can begin to make things right. God has been doing some amazing things at Rosedale lately behind the scenes, and I'm trusting God to just bring them to pass. I'm excited for what He is doing. I anticipate what He's going to do in our lives. And if we take a moment and if we had a flashback, I would guess if you had a chance to take a flashback of your year, that there would be some sadness, there would be some gladness, and there would be a whole lot of, oh yeah, I can't remember that happened to this year, because it just went so fast and it moves quick, and sometimes we're moving at such a pace that we forget what God is doing, because time is precious, and a lot of times we don't get a second chance to retrieve that moment. And thinking about it, I think of Peter, and I know it's probably just me, but I can think of Peter even going farther down the Christmas story, moving towards the time of Jesus' resurrection. I can picture and imagine Peter remembering when Jesus said the words that He was going to deny Him, and Peter emphatically saying, "I would never do that," and then the crow speaking, and all of a sudden it was a reminder of, oh, Jesus said that would happen. Time flies, moments get away, procrastination sometimes usually wins out in our lives, and we're left with these voids in our life that only God can fill. And Jesus, by choice, says, "I can fill that void." Amen. I can fill that void. 1 John 1, if you turn there really quick, 1 John 1, reading over to verse 10, says this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you: God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us." The disciples here say, "We have heard Jesus. We have seen Jesus. We've touched Jesus. We've walked on this road with Jesus. And why we proclaim what we proclaim is because Jesus is who He says that He is, and that all eternity is waiting for Him to complete the plan that God has for Him and sent Him to do, and the Redeemer of the world is waiting to rescue a world that desperately needs Him." He says they proclaim it because they understood it, they lived it, and God changed his life. Jesus changed their life. Say amen to that. Once you have an encounter with Jesus, He should change your life. Once you walk with Him, it should never be the same. Once you've tasted of the Lord, you should realize that it's good, and you have this fellowship that begins. Amen? I mean, I should hear some rumbling there. There should be a little bit of an amen as Jesus reaches out to us and he fellowships with us and wants us to love him. And he tells us that he dwells within us. That baby in a manger was going to be the Savior of the world. And we sometimes miss that. We're going to see the fulfillment of scriptures. We're going to see the commandments of God being brought forth. And we're seeing a life that needs to be changed. Verse 5, paraphrase, tells us the Christian message was heard, proclaimed, and wants to be and should be told on to others. Koinonia, the Greek word for fellowship, that we have this common faith to enjoy God's goodness and God's grace and share and participate in Christ's goodness to us, to receive this spiritual blessing that God has for us and desires to work in our lives to the Gentiles, those that were outside of the Jewish faith. He opens up the door, which all people. And I kidded on Sunday and said, those people, well, we are all those people. But God opened up that door for us. You know, such a rich relationship that was going to be a community of God, that Christ not only wants us, now listen to me, God doesn't only want us to come to church, but he wants us to belong to the church, be a part of it, not just an attender, but a one that belongs and participates and is involved in the things and has fellowship with people of like-minded faith. He wants us to experience the Lord. When you look at the manger, God wants you to experience God. He wants you to experience the Lord working in our lives. The Apostle Paul had trouble with this when we look at these verses because people were not fellowshipping with the Lord. They weren't seeing what the Lord was doing. There was false teachings going on. He says to fellowship with us as opposed to the world that said there's no room for Jesus. And this the society that we live in today has no problem with Jesus as long as they don't have to make room for Jesus. As long as Jesus doesn't want to change them, as long as they don't need to have fellowship with him, they just need to know of him. But Jesus is telling us that he came so that we could have fellowship with him, so that we would not be swayed by the world and the erring teachers, that we would understand the word of God and know where we're going and what we're living out in our lives. He says that the message can't get diluted. So you can't dilute the Christmas message. You can't change the things that are going on and have happened. You know, the scripture says God is light. In him is no darkness. We can't dilute that. We can't make that God our kind of God. That is, there's one God. His name is Jesus. He is light. He has got no darkness in him. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we're lying to ourselves. The truth's not in us. We have a problem that we need to change. Christmas gifts are good. I like Christmas gifts. Come on. Come on. Somebody should have said amen. Thank you. Somebody's got to be honest. And a lot of time and a lot of effort is put into wrapping the gifts and getting them to look so beautiful. But the bottom line, when you hand somebody a gift, they want to rip through it. They want to see what's in there. They don't care that you spent 10 minutes on that bow or that lace or whatever you did or that you used double-sided transparent tape so that they couldn't see. They don't care about those things. They're looking and wanting what's inside, and a lot of effort is put into that and the wrapping gifts, and they rip through them. Then you find wrong color, wrong size, the elephant gift that you just cannot understand why anybody would send to you and give to you. And you're going to find out the greatest gift you're going to get is Jesus. The greatest gift you're ever going to get. The world doesn't get it, but we should get it. As believers, we should get it. The perfect gift comes from above. No returns needed. And I like that part. God with us. Showing us a world that needs him, showing us that we need him, showing us that we can't dilute his truths, showing us his purpose for coming. We need to stop looking at the manger and start looking in the manger. Amen. They're great Christmas displays, but what's in the manger is what's going to make the difference. You have to do something with Jesus. If you have no opinion, you're rejecting him. One of the things that get me is you look at these manger scenes and you see perfectly dressed people, perfectly manicured, perfectly standing there. The animals are in total obedience. And it's so far away from the truth. They were messy. The shepherds were messy. The animals were messy. The animals, I'm sure, were doing what animals do. And it was a mess. And it shows us that without Christ, our life is a mess. We're dirty without Christ. We're messy. And God showed us and wanted to redeem us and wanted us to see that a polluted world could be cleaned up by him. I love this. This year, over 29 million rolls of gift paper will be used, 372 million greeting cards, 35 or 40 million Christmas trees will be cut down, and who knows how many strings of lights and how many rolls of Scotch tape and how many people are going to be messed up with rigging up the lights. But it is about Jesus. It is about the Lord. It is about him doing something. He's the light of the world. He's the one the world needs to accept. And by going in and out of the darkness, we find that we've got to come to the light. Amen. How many have been there and you tried to walk that line and you understand that at some point you have to make a decision? Scripture says, and when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him and with each other, and he purifies us from all sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the perfect gift. To you, scripture says, is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Messiah the Lord. No matter what gift you get, today or tomorrow, some of you probably have already had a taste of it, and opening up some gifts, but no matter if you're opening them today or tomorrow or a few minutes after you walk out this door, they will not have the value as the precious gift of Jesus Christ. They will not carry the eternal value. The Grinch tried to steal Christmas, and he was offended by the people of Whoville. Decorations disturbed him. Celebrations disturbed him. The noise of Christmas disturbed him, and he thought the answer to all of that was to take it away from them. He thought that the answer to all of that, and I'm thinking today that that's what Satan's trying to do to believers. The more I can take you away, the more I can get you out of focus, the more noise I can make, the less I can make your celebration inviting and energizing and truthful. He thought that the answer was to take it away. But when the Grinch, instead of them being sorrowful, instead of them being woe is me and looking for their Christmas tree and their presents, when they began to praise, despite all of that, is what changed the heart. Let me tell you, if you let someone, they will suck you dry of your joy. They will take the joy from you. They will cause you to lose focus. But the people of Whoville, they were joyful. They were singing. And even when they didn't have presents, they realized that Christmas was more than that. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. There's no baby Jesus in the Grinch story, but it does show us as believers that there is more to Christmas. Amen. There's more to Christmas. Some gifts you can give that are beyond monetary value. And I've written a couple down. Mend a quarrel. Dismiss suspicion. Tell someone that you love them. Give something away anonymously. Forgive someone who has treated you wrong. Turn away wrath with a soft answer. Visit someone in a nursing home. Apologize if you are wrong. Be specific and especially kind to someone with whom you work. give as God gave to you in Christ without obligation or announcement or reservation and without hypocrisy. The greatest gift God gave us was forgiveness. And that's why he sent a Savior. I found this illustration, and I like this as I wrap this up. It goes like this. Forgive me for reading just a little bit of it. It says, long ago there ruled in Persia a wise and good king. He loved his people. He wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardship. Often he dressed in the clothes of a working man or a beggar and went to the homes of the poor. No one whom he visited thought that he was their ruler. One time he visited a very poor man living in a cellar. He ate the coarse food that the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful, kind words to him. Then he left. Later, he comes back to the man again and disclosed his identity by saying, I am your king. The king thought the man would surely ask for some kind of a favor, but he didn't. Instead, he said, you left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food that I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others, you have given your rich gifts. To me, you have given yourself. That is Jesus. That is Jesus, the King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself to you and to me. And the Bible calls him an unspeakable gift. And as we close, here's my thought. Don't let the celebration of Christmas and all the great things of getting together with family and presents and food and all the great things that's a part of fellowshipping, and we need that. Don't let it take away the focus of why we're celebrating and why we care and why we're grateful and why we need to understand that God loves us and allows us to experience his love. And this time for me, the older I get, and I'm pretty young, the older I get, no comments necessary, I find myself doing a spiritual check at this time of year. I do. I really do. Sometimes I fail miserably. You got to do a spiritual check. You have to make sure your heart's right. You have to make sure you're not wrapped up. And I got to get these many services together. I've got to do this. I got to do that. I have these many parties to get together. I got to get the food. I got to get the presents. I got to make sure the house cleans. I got to make cookies. All the things that are all involved. You just sometimes you need to do a spiritual check and get yourself quiet with the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I don't want to miss this time. I don't want to miss the Christmas spirit, the Christmas love that should be shown. And when I give a gift to somebody, I want it to be out of love, not because I had to, because I had to just get it together. I really want to show that person that I care. I really want to spend time with family and friends. And, I want to make sure that I just don't miss your voice, what you have to say. Amen? Would you just bow your head with me in just a moment? I'm going to have the worship team come, but I just want to have a word of prayer with us. Father, I'm grateful for all the things that you've done, all the things that you've shown us how much you love us. Yet while we're sinners, you love us, that you would leave the glory of heaven to redeem a mankind that has treated you that way. Just blows my mind. Lord God, help us to not lose focus of what you have for us, what you desire for us. And Lord God, that you just would speak to our hearts. May we be sensitive to those that are around us. May we do something anonymous. May we show love to someone that the world has rejected. May we be a blessing to those that are around us. May we sometimes keep the negativity to ourselves so that we could show the love of Christ to someone that needs to know your love. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.